going to set aside those geopolitical activities and discuss with Dr. John Whitcomb. This is a man, he is a great Bible scholar and teacher, graduate of Princeton University. He's written many, many books, one with Dr. Henry Morris about the flood, the Genesis flood. He knows the Word of God. He understands creation very well from his knowledge intellectually, but also from his study of God's Word. And I bring to these microphones Dr. John Whitcomb. John, it's a joy to have you with us, my dear friend. And man, I hear people tell me, at your age, what are you, about 85 or so?
God willing, next month, 85 years young.
85 years young. And I tell you, you were with, I think, Rob Congdon just recently. He told me that you not only preached just great in the conference that you two guys were together in, but you took off and went to another conference up in Canada. You're all over the world. He says you're just getting better as you get older, not slowing down at all, but we're glad we could catch you for a moment. John, I want to talk to you about what they are saying is the most important archaeological find, maybe in the history of the world. History Channel on the television is making a big to-do about it. CNN is covering it. It's the finding of a 47-million-year-old fossil. Now, that's their statement, 47 million years old. A fossil of what they're saying is the missing link, a female monkey of some type. We do not need to get into the scientific aspects of it as much as why indeed is this totally contradictory to what God's Word has to say. That's what I want you to speak to, if you will.
Well, Jimmy, it's perfectly obvious from the very first verse of the book of Genesis, the first of the 66 books that God authored by the Holy Spirit, that 10 different times, God says things that are alive were created to reproduce after their kind, after their kind, after their kind. God only has to say something once for it to be absolutely true. But when he says it 10 times in the same chapter, the opening chapter of Genesis, God must be communicating this reality. Namely, there will be resistance to this fundamental truth of the living world, the fixity of kinds, and therefore it must be pounded in by repetition. And we know automatically who hates this truth. It is Satan, the god of this world. I can prove that, Jimmy, because the first words that Satan ever uttered to a human being, namely to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, questioned God's mercy and his love and said, in effect, "Oh, God is threatened by you, dear woman. He doesn't want you to be what you could be, what you can be, but if you follow me, what you will be. You will be as gods, knowing good and evil. We're going up. We're evolving. We're not going to be locked into the kind of situation we're in now metaphysically." And so Satan wants to be God. He offered to Eve that she would be as the gods. And, of course, Adam and Eve believed that and fell into the curse. Now, Jimmy, it's obvious then that God tells us over and over again, just look at the living things. Look at the living things I created. Nothing has ever evolved in the history of the world. Evolution is impossible because you can't add new genetic information to the DNA information system in living things that program them for reproduction and function. In fact, a great German scholar whom I have met, Werner Gitt, has written an outstanding book on this called In the Beginning Was Information. Now, information, Jimmy, is an invisible, non-material mental entity, and it's one of the fundamentals of the universe, mass energy information. And that information came from God, who designed and created the living world and everything that moves and lives and breathes today on this planet. Every fossilized plant, animal, marine creature that we find trillions of in the rocks of the earth, including this so-called missing link. Everybody's excited about a missing link that finally proves evolution. You know what that means, don't you, Jimmy? That they were suspicious that everything else they've ever claimed was not evidence for evolution. So they're desperate to find a missing link. And God is not alarmed. God is not frustrated. God is not ashamed. He's always saying, come, look closer. Look closer at this fossil. Look closer at the other fossils. Look closer at the living things around you, including yourself. You are all under the curse, which is the second law of thermodynamics in a closed system, everything getting worse and worse and worse. And I say, well, Lord, help me to just look with your help, by your illumination through your word, at the reality of the world all over us in order to be able to screen out false interpretations such as evolution. And I was a godless evolutionist at Princeton University myself in 1942 and 43. I know, Jimmy, what it takes to transform an evolutionist. The grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, through his word, which is living and powerful. And as we lovingly, carefully, patiently, and prayerfully share with people what God has said and what he's done, especially through his beloved Son, who died for us and rose from the dead, I say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done to open my eyes, to make me teachable, to make me willing to listen and to learn. So for many, many years now, for over 50 years, Henry Morris and I and other creation scientists have worked on these things. Answers in Genesis, Jimmy. www.answersingenesis.org has excellent articles on this so-called missing link. And I say, Lord, help us in love, in patience, and in prayer to help people to see the absurdity of these claims and the reality of the only book you have ever written, the Bible.
Amen. You know, people say continually, hey, look, when you look at the Bible, you've got to take that by faith that God did all of this. Well, that is absolutely true, but I would have to say that any person who would think that 47,000 years ago there was a monkey like this, supposedly the missing link, you have to certainly take that by faith. There was nobody there to really record all of it, and they can't reproduce it.
Well, of course, evolution is a faith. It's a religion. And they can say, if they're honest about it, and evolutionists should say, by faith, we evolutionists understand the worlds were not framed by the word of God. In other words, they should restate Hebrews 11:3 and be honest to school children, 45 million of them in America. Dear child, you may have a choice. By faith, you may believe evolution. Because no evolutionist on this planet was here when the world began, Jimmy, and never saw anything evolve.
Exactly.
And by faith, we Christians understand that God, the living God, is dependable, he's truthful, he's loving, he never deceives people. By faith, we understand what he said to be true. Now, you see, we have a difference between us and evolutionists, Christians, and here's a fundamental difference. We, by the mercy of God, have his image and likeness, every human being that's ever lived. That means we are teachable. We are reachable. God can reach us through his word. He can't talk to animals like he does to people, and therefore God says, let's sit down and talk. I'm not in any afraid of what you'll find in my universe, in my world, but especially through the lens of Holy Scripture, you'll see how things fit together. And take my word, because of who I am, by faith, and you will find answers that will transform your life.
Amen. Amen. That address that Dr. Wickham gave us was www.answersingenesis.org. Ken Ham and all of his fine people, be sure to go and visit that to get greater insight. But Dr. Wickham, you've been a blessing to us as you've helped us to think through something that's supposedly big news in this world today. And again, it's just another effort by Satan to destroy God's word, but we're going to keep lifting up God's word and let it defend itself. We don't have to defend it. It's like a lion in a cage. All you have to do is open the cage and that lion can defend himself. Thank you so much, Dr. Wickham. Appreciate it. God bless you, my dear friend.
Thank you.